Hello, I am Chris Allen, and welcome to the Mystic Chat. I'm going to introduce myself a little. Like I said, I'm Chris. I am an ordained minister with the Fellowship of Phoenix. I'm also a published author and apparently talk show host and YouTube talk show this and that. And let me take it over to my co-host, Laura Gonzalez. So Laura, introduce yourself, please.
Hello, everybody. My name is Laura Gonzalez. I'm an ordained priestess of the goddess, a minister with Circle Sanctuary, and I'm a podcaster. I'm also a healer, a witch for hire, an artist, a model. I sell tamales on Sundays. No, I'm just kidding.
And I was about to say, if that's true, I'm coming over.
No, it's not. But that is the way you say in Mexico when you do a lot of things. Oh, and I also sell tamales on Sunday. Anyway, and I'm very happy to be also a co-host here of Mystic Chat. And let me introduce you to Fratin Aaron.
Thank you, Laura. I am Aaron, and I am a graduate of the Mystery School of the Fellowship of the Phoenix, where I'm a mentor, and I'm a magician and educator, magician in an armchair, as I like to say. And I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
What are you mad about?
we'll talk about it over the course of the episode.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, so on today's show, we are going to talk about summer magic, summer witchcraft, summer events, summer healing, things like that. So I want to know, Aaron, I want to know what you're mad about. What's going on?
Okay, so this I'm not really, but since we're talking about summer magic and fire magic, and something that I was going to bring up over the course of the discussion is, this is the time of the year when the next few secular holidays we have Father's Day and we have the 4th of July. And many countries seem to celebrate, about 20 countries seem to celebrate their independence as July. So there is something about revolution during this time of year too. And it might be astrological. It might just be that it's hot as hell and people get fed up. But yeah, that was one of the topics for my summer magic series.
So your topic is fighting and rebellion, because I'm into it.
Yeah, but you know, is it something etheric in the cosmos at this time, or is it just? Is it just that, you know, it gets hot and people get sick of being dominated? And either way, you know, it's the outcome that matters. But so that is one of the energies of the season, and an energy that will go into another topic we'll bring up, which is pride is this season too, which was also people being fed up with being abused and starting a little bit of a revolution.
So I do know that, you know, before modern times, almost all battles exclusively happened in the summer. Part of it is, mm-hmm. if you're in a northern country, you don't want to traipse through 3 foot of snow with a sword and a shield. I mean, that sucked. And plus, mm-hmm. it was cold and blah, blah, blah. So I kind of see the whole summer thing. So let's talk about rioting. And then we'll go into healing later. So, pride magic. It's interesting because I didn't really think about pride being, or gay pride or any pride, or, you know, whatever nationality people are and things like that, like things like that, until I became ordained, because then it became a leadership thing about how to teach people how to find the sacred in pride. One of the things I'm hearing, and oh my God, I want people to read, and I want them to watch for documentaries, not TV shows, documentaries at least, because I've had these conversations with people, and I've seen it on Facebook, whatever, these people who are under 35 saying, pride has no purpose. It has no point. Pride doesn't have meaning. It's just an excuse to party. And the things I always say is, read your history. There's a lot of documentaries about pride. And we fought for our, I'm going to quote the Beastie Boys. We fought for our right to party, you know, and to be sexual and all that. And that in itself, rioting is an act of transformation, an act of magic, you know. So what do you think, Laura, about rioting and taking a break? I swear I'm going to hear Chris Allen said I should take a break and hit something. It's important to you than maybe.
I wouldn't mind taking a break as my ancestors did, because let us not forget ever that it was brown and black people who actually took the brick. I was so dramatic. I almost got it, and then I trip on my words. Let's never forget it was black and brown people who actually transgender women, and who is more marginalized nowadays as part of the LGBTQIA plus or so-called alphabet mafia. We still ostracize black and brown indigenous women and trans women. And it's kind of like we've gone backwards. But you know, that's kind of what happens when you live in a white supremacy.
Right.
And also not to rain on their parade, because Xennials and very, very young millennials, they're very used to instant gratification. And I mean, that's why we have all this technology and all of that. So it's like what you see in 1 minute, right? Like TikTok and all of that. And there is no patience. There is no culture of patience and sitting down and opening a book. I mean, there's not even books for a lot of people anymore. It's all on computers. So I am an advocate, as you said, to go on to learn and investigate, and something that really is amazing now is as we are getting older, our generation, the Gen Xers, we are going to be the first generation of elder LGBTQIA plus people, because our elders died of AIDS. So we don't have elders, and we don't have a footprint or an example to follow. So we really have to be, you know, hip, so we appeal to the young generation, but also be like, learn your history, you know? So we're kind of like, as very Gen X, we're kind of in between, and like nobody cares, and that's fine, but you know. Let's riot.
What's great about the season two is it is inherently magical to assert your will, assert your independence, both who you truly are as a sacred being and who you've created your persona to be, like as we do in our magical beings. So, you know, I think it's completely, you know, a summer magical season. And how interesting that there is this juxtaposition that we're at midsummer, we're at the zenith of the sun's height, and which is in Western culture traditionally been a sign of the patriarchy, like the Sun King. And we have Father's Day, and then we also have, you know, we also have revolutions, independence days, and pride. And it's a really interesting time.
So I'm wondering, how can we help our audience, the people who are watching or whatever, or listening on podcasts, how can we take this idea of revolution of a rioting and turn that into a magical thing? Because you just don't want to tell someone, hey, throw a brick at something random. I mean, it needs to cause change. And you don't have to damage things, you can, there's other ways to start a riot. For example, art often starts that. Music, speaking up. And anyone who knows who I am,
right,
knows
and
we're never back down from a conversation. And so I think conversations can be a riot. What are you going to say, Aaron?
And of course, there's, you know, there's always work to be done. But we're lucky that the revolution, the beginning of the revolution has happened. So the first part would be just like, you know, the 4th of July, that we honor the ancestors, we honor the people, we honor the people who were there in the front lines, who were at Stonewall, you know, we honor the people who fought for independence, for, you know, their countries, their cultures, things like that. And we have gratitude. So I think the first part is respecting the ancestors and not taking it for granted, you know, which touches on what you were talking about before, people not understanding what the party is about.
Exactly.
I think something that I live my life by is, I might not be able to change the world, but I'm changing my world. And being a hashtag feminist witch, the question is not why you're feminist. The question is like, why aren't you? Like, when people get to understand what feminism is about, and that is about equal rights for everybody, even those who hate us feminists, yes, we're also fighting for your rights. So I'm not body able. We were just talking about this with Chris before the show started. I injure my ankle probably by sleeping funny on it, and I've been in pain the whole day. So I cannot go and march. I certainly am not going to go throw bricks or anything, but I am certainly going to speak up for the rights of women and little girls, for the rights of little boys, for transgender women, transgender men, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, kind of in that order, because that's how it's needed, and the rights of cis-het men as well. And quoting the Gloria Steinem, or paraphrasing, she said, do something every day that will disrupt the patriarchy, or that will disrupt the system. So, you know, when the system tells you you are a brown woman and you are not supposed to be talking, guess what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be talking, you know. So disrupt the status quo a little bit every day. That's the way of be revolutionary. And then people ask me, so what do you do to disrupt the patriarchy? And I'd be like, I exist.
Exactly.
I'm a brown, fat, queer witch. So, you know, it's just taking space. And by all means, you who are watching or you who are listening, no matter who you are, take space.
You know, my friend, I think we're all friends with him, Michael Herkus. He's a glam witch, and he inspires me because, like, he is very non-binary and feminine, and his way of writing is exactly what you said. His magical transformation is existing in all of his pink feather, high heel, lipstick glory. And he gives two shits, like, for real. And I think that, you know, one of the things I would hope is that whatever magical rioting is for you, I'm going to coin that term, magical rioting, whatever that is to you, do that. So if it's art, if it's singing, if it's just existing, if it's protesting, if it's calling people out, if it's, I don't know, whatever that means, doing spells, doing magic, worshiping under the full moon, drumming under the full moon, you know? And I think that representation is a huge thing, to where it's interesting. I know every queer person ever, unless you grew up in a queer home. The first time we saw someone who was like us on TV or just at a restaurant, the beach, a bar, a library, you're like, oh my God, I'm not the only one. And you know, the same with minority groups, with Latino and Black and whatever. Whenever you see yourself or someone like you on TV, it's meaningful. So yeah, maybe your magical writing is just being your authentic self in public, you know? For the sake of time, I want to talk about magical things to do in the summer, like the Pagan Spirit Gathering. Laura, tell us about that. And are you teaching anything? Okay, I want to know all about it.
Okay. Let me bring up my infomercial. Of course, I'm doing a Pagan Spirit Gathering. This is a gathering.
Where is it, first of all? Where is it?
It's going to be on San Luis. The shrine for the, I can't remember the name, but it's in San Luis. I have to tell you, though, the registration is closed. They closed on June 3rd. However, this event happens every year. It's organized by Circle Sanctuary, and it's been all over the place, kind of on the Midwest, and this time is going to be on San Luis. I cannot recall the exact place, but it's something, I don't know, it's a camping spot. And yes, I will be teaching. I'm going to be teaching Mexican folk magic. Thank you, Aaron, for helping me with the description for that worship. You are a doll. Because sometimes I have trouble with words, written words. So I'm going to be there. I'm going to be teaching. It's a week-long event. And the idea, of course, founded by Selena Fox, was to basically create a pagan town. So everybody that comes are of one of another pagan persuasion. And it's a camping space, and it's 7 days of rituals, rites of passage, music, performances, and of course, teaching and learning and sharing. And it's pretty cool. And I said that I was just going to go to the one, and now this is going to be my third. And the reason being, I'm the one pagan with the worst insect phobia in the world, and I don't camp. So it gets kind of pricey for me, but I like doing it, so I'm gonna do it anyway.
You're also a priestess of Circle Sanctuary, so I mean, it's kind of the deal, isn't it?
Well, it's not mandatory, obviously, but it's kind of the deal. It's kind of like, really, you're not going to PSG? And the thing is, so don't tell anybody, okay? I'm just gonna tell you guys. I'm going, right? So I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just gonna enjoy this one, because every time I go, I'm like, teaching, or I had to do my practicum to become a minister, blah blah. And then I say, this time I'm just gonna go. I'm just gonna enjoy it. And then Celia tells me, can you be part of the morning summer solstice ritual? Sure, I can do that. And then somebody else, hey, can you teach a worship? Sure, no problem. I'm just complaining funny because I love this attention. You all know I love it. And then next thing you know, now I'm signed up for a youth thing, and then another ritual, and then another ritual, and then a speaking engagement in the morning. Point being, I'm going to be working every day of the week.
So I was actually ordained at PSG 2002. I was going to be my 20th anniversary of being ordained. And, you know, at the time, was the fellowship in Canberra. At the time, it was the Brotherhood of the Phoenix. And I actually quit going to PSG. The reason is because I didn't have a day, not a day, not a second. And I'm like, this is supposed to be vacation. This is not vacation. But I will tell you, that's because Laura and I are ordained and we're ministers, and that's part of the service work for us. So I do encourage, if you can't go this year, definitely go. It was a, it's a life-changing experience. You will meet people who you'll be friends with forever. And it's cool to have like, what is it now? 500 witches, shamans, magical people, centros and things like that, all in the same place, all doing a giant, you know, ritual. It's impressive. What else about PSG before we move on? Anything else?
I just want to talk about something that I realized, one kind of privilege that I have that I didn't know I have until I came back from PSG. Just to share with people how impactful this is, because this is a pagan village that exists for a month, for a week. I'm sorry.
A month.
I wish for a week. And then people came back, and there is a pagan spirit gathering group on Facebook. And people were talking about like, oh, the re-entrance is so hard and it's so hard to go back to mundania and blah, blah. And I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Why is everybody so, you know, like broke down because you're coming back to home? And then I realized I have this witch privilege. I'm a witch 24/7. I work as a witch. I live as a witch. Everybody knows I'm a witch. Like, I don't hide. And it made me realize two things. A, thank you, Goddess, for all the privilege that I have. And B, how dangerous is still out there for folks to be openly pagan. So, Aaron, when you were talking about revolutionary acts, that's another one, right? Like, to go there and to decompress or to be yourself, and then having to come back to mundania, as they call it, and kind of like back in the broom closet, it has to be really, really hard. So if you have the opportunity and you've never done it, I really invite you to go, because it's fun.
So there's the pagan spirit gathering, but there's also, we're gonna, I wanna revisit Pride just a little bit. You know, it's interesting because for a lot of people, Pride is a sexual thing. And I don't mean the act of having sex. I mean like being shirtless or being risque or dancing on the load of the thong and things like that. That's what I mean by sexual. And there's a sexual vibe. And the interesting thing is, no one I know, no gay man I know ever hooks up on Pride. Not ever. Because it's all about like being with your friend and being with your community and sharing and things like that. But the sexual vibe is very celebrated. And it's interesting because, like I said before, if we did all the battles and the protests and the change in legislation, so we could do that. And, you know, I personally haven't seen it in a while, but I've heard of friends who've seen like straight people complaining about how the Pride parade is too drag queen, too trans, too sexual, too this or too that. And it's interesting because someone had a meme or something or whatever. They said, these are the people who complain about, say, trans and guys in thongs, but they're fine with people who have an AK-47. I think that's something to think about, bringing it back to Earth, to a magical writing, because I think that magical writing is an act of healing. You gotta cut out the dead flesh to heal, right? You know. What are your thoughts about that, Aaron? You're being all quiet.
Yeah, it's interesting that you know, we began with we began with revolution, and we're using the word riot, but us honoring ourselves and getting to the space where we can believe and see ourselves as sacred and see that in the people around us is, I think, as I, you know, was intimating earlier, is, you know, one of the largest magical acts we can do on this vein. You know, the initial, you know, if we want to talk about the Stonewall riot, it wasn't people going out looking for a fight. They were in their space, and then they got fed up with others coming into their space and harassing them. If we want to look at like the Venezuelan revolution for independence, it was Venezuelans in their country who were trying to get, you know, foreign Spaniard control out, you know, so it wasn't like people going out and looking for a fight necessarily, but stating their own independence, stating, you know, their own worthiness and sacredness. And yeah, in our tradition, the Fellowship of the Phoenix, this is the time that we honor the archetype of the healer. And I always likened it to, you know, sort of like getting that dose of vitamin D. There's, you know, getting outside and being healed by the sun. But I've also come to understand this time as the season of Gemini, and through Gemini, Mercury, both, you know, both healers, and with Gemini especially, we get the harsh healing and like the loving healing, you know, or the revolution and the reconciliation, you know. So there's a lot of things going on right now. And yeah, there's kind of room for it all.
There's kind of room for it all. Well, you know, I think you brought up an interesting thing that riot is a powerful word, and I think people are afraid of it. I think people who need to riot are afraid of it. And just like we said before, riot doesn't always mean throwing a brick through a window. Riot can mean being your authentic self and telling everyone else to fuck off, because, you know, sometimes I'm gonna teach you a magical healing chant. You ready? It's very sacred. Like, it was taught to be by my elders and their elders. Ready? Fuck off. Fuck off. It's a very sacred chant. Because sometimes you got to tell people, no, I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to be quiet. I'm not going to be less of my authentic self to make your ass comfortable. That ain't going to happen. However, don't say that to your employer, because that's a different situation. I actually had a friend say, I told that to my boss. I was like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? That's not the place. It's just not. It's your employer. But anyway, but what I'm trying to say is to, I think there are some people who, speaking of Gemini, I'm leapfrogging all over the place. President Gemini here. I've noticed as a healer, people are, I should say afraid. People are hesitant to do something until they get permission. They're hesitant to heal. They're hesitant to speak up, because in our society, so you're saying, unless you're a white Christian American man, shut the hell up, or wait your turn to speak after the Christian white man speaks, you know. And so I think also an act of healing of summer magic is to start to challenge ourselves, you know, challenge ourselves to speak up, challenge and speak up in the right places. Because for example, I'm not going to argue with someone on Facebook who's an idiot. I'm not going to do that anymore. I used to, I'm not. I'm also not going to argue with someone who's blatantly racist. I actually had to block a friend, a quote unquote air quotes friend on Facebook, because I said something about, I'm not sure if you guys saw it. I said something to the effect of, so there's a Star Wars show called Obi-Wan Kenobi, and one of the main actresses is black. And she was getting hate mail, like horrible, horrible things. And Star Wars had a statement that said, we support, and I forget her first name, but we support Moses. Anyone who's racist, we resist. And the comments of this thing was, why does Star Wars have to be political? A, what part of Star Wars is not political? A. B, you do realize there's millions of different beings and races and races in Star Wars. And three, this is an employer taking up for an employee. Four, why are you so triggered you have to comment? You know? And so I posted, hey, white people, we got a work to do because of the situation. And this quote unquote friend says, don't you think you're being silly, Chris, to bring this up? And I was like, okay, I'm gonna fight you. And so I did, I ended up blocking him. But my point is that that in itself, I'm taking that statement, wasn't a little riot. It was to get people wound up.
I'm going to tell you why it's political. Because everything is political. Everything. Unless you're a cis-het white man, probably older than a Gen Xer, the system is not created for you. And ergo, everything that happens to you or around you has a political impact. And witchcraft as an art is an act of rebellion.
Yeah.
Let us never, ever, ever forget, especially, but not exclusively, Black and brown folk, the African diaspora, etc., is still traditionally practiced from way back when. And it started as a means to rebel against the powers to be, against the colonizers. So you were asking earlier, what can we do in witchcraft? Anything that you do in witchcraft is an act of rebellion. And I love how Aaron said, you know, because that's when you create yourself and you feel the most magical. That it'll be great if it is every day, you know, that you wake up in the morning and you say, I'm this fucking magical being, and I'm going to create, I'm going to manifest, I'm going to, you know, do my thing because I survived. And because others before me did it and were not afraid of take everything. I'm a very, for those who don't know, I'm very sensitive. Aaron, you can tell him how sensitive I am. I'm extremely sensitive. But that sensibility gives me the fuel to fight for what I think is right. And one of the very things that I almost never believe, and again, I'm not surprised, but, you know, is when people who are in witchcraft and they utter those words like, why you have to get political? Are you a witch or you're not? Because witchcraft is political. So, absolutely. You know, and down out of my soapbox.
What do you think, Aaron?
I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about, if I could talk a little bit about some magic and myth of the season.
Okay.
There's some myths that come to mind for me. That may or may not have originally been tied to this season. So especially now, I'm living in Texas and it's hot as all fuck here. It's so hot. But so midsummer is not like, I don't want to be out dancing with a garland on my head. I want to be like inside in the AC. And it makes me think of, so like, the Greek myth of Phaethon, with who was the sun's son, Helios's son, and he wants to take the sun chariot for a drive, and he goes crazy and is staying out too late and getting too close to the earth and burning everything up, you know, and so Helios has to take it back. And, you know, it makes me think of, again, this time of year where the sun is just out of control here. And it also makes me think of, again, the patriarchy kind of reclaiming its, enforcing its dominance as the patriarchy. Also, the Egyptian myth of Sekhmet, where she's punishing the humans, and she gets out of control. So they have to get her drunk and put her to sleep because the sun is just too effing hot. But then there's also the myth with Isis, and this is a really neat analogy for Midsummer, because Isis, I think Horus is sick. I don't believe this one is about healing Osiris, but I think her son is sick and she wants to heal him. And so she tricks the sun god Re to give her his secret name. And so then she takes in all the power and the healing magic from the sun god. And now after that, the sun god has to turn away and diminish further and further away from the rest of the gods. And that really goes nicely along with everything we've been talking about, because, you know, we have an archetype of femininity, a female of color specifically, but using her magic and cunning to get to the god of the sun, to get his power and cause his diminishment, which is going to happen. The days are going to get shorter now. And so I think of that this time of year a lot as well. In our tradition and in general, this seems to be a time where there's a lot of fire magic. And that could be, that's one that's easily adaptable both for burning away improper things that have been imposed on you, or for personal healing as well, is fire magic at this time of year.
You know, up here so I'm from Texas, and so I get it, man. I get it. However, here in Chicago, it's the opposite. It's a celebration. We're like, and you know, Chicago was crazy in the summer. It's like the beaches, cafes, the bars, the theater, the lakefront, the bikes, whatever. It goes crazy. And so it's interesting because up here in the, of course, when it's cold, you know, fire is healing. Fire transforms you. It's amazing. But in the South, and for people who, you know, live in hot climates, the fires of transformation can be dangerous. You know, it can be hurtful. And so I think if we pay attention to what that means is that, are we putting our fires in the right places? You know, are we wasting our breath on people who won't hear us? Or are we overdoing it? You know how you talk and talk and talk and talk, you're like, I am burnt out, you know? I think that's something to pay attention to. If you guys have any questions or comments, just type them. But during the show, we don't do any live questions, only because we're recording and you'll be on our show forever and you may not like that. Unless you want to be famous, I'll put you on the show. Well, you know, what other type of healing things? Like, we've done PSG, we've done Riot, we've done Pride, we've done for change in the last few minutes. What type of healing do you think that we need to talk about?
I think we have talked a lot about working and working hard. And especially when it's like super hot in Texas, I don't even want to imagine how hot it is. Burnout is a thing. So I think a magical act will be like to just chill for a minute. I don't know, grab a beer or whatever you drink and sit in the shade and enjoy, yeah, the weather, or enjoy, for like you say, for us here on the north, is like, yay, a sunny day. Probably Aaron will be like, curse you. But, you know, as is possible for you to, like, seriously, to chill. When was the last time you actually chilled and said, like, nope, I'm not going to deal with that today. I'm going to deal with it tomorrow. And I think this time of the year allows for that as well. And remember also something that Aaron mentioned, you know, this is the pinnacle. And then it starts going down. So taking advantage of our time wisely, because then we have to like unwind. And B is saying fire also relates to creativity, enthusiasm, and energy, of course. But my healing recommendation will be chill. Just sit on your recliner chair and enjoy the weather.
And act like Aaron and do your magic. For people just joining us, he just said he's like an armchair magician. He isn't. When he said that, he's playing. He isn't. I've known him for, what, 18 years? 18? No. Aaron, is it 18 years? Is that right? I've known you?
Sounds right.
Shit, 2004. Yeah. 18 years. So anyway, that's not true. It's just so funny. So in the last few minutes, I want to kind of challenge all of us to think about how... what do we need to write against? So what do we need to change? And maybe that's internal. Maybe that's our living situations or our job situations. Or maybe it's bigger. What can you do to change society and change community? You know? Also, you know, there's power and numbers. So, you know, one voice isn't going to be heard, unfortunately, but hundreds of voices, they will be heard. So who are your people who think like you, and how can you get people together to have a common cause? You know, the other thing is, what do we need to heal? Like, what is it like physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, we need to address? You know, one of the things I want to talk about really quickly, one of the things I love is, you're all going to hate me, I love Mercury in retrograde. Love it. Here's why. Because if you use astrology in a healing way, Mercury is designed, because you know how everything goes in reverse, it goes backwards, blah, blah, blah. So does your trauma, so do your wounds, so does your emotional baggage. It comes back. And not in a karma way, as in, oh, what comes around goes around, but in a way that says, hey, you have some things going in the account that you need to deal with. Speaking of Gemini season, things you need to deal with. So, you know, Mercury in retrograde, which we just had, and Gemini season, you know, just think of Gemini season as a giant Mercury in retrograde that never ends. But it's designed to help you deal with your shit, you know. So as we go into this healing, if we listen to what Laura said, and stop and chill for a minute, for in a quieter place, to where we don't hear all the static, that we can deal with our things, or at least become aware, because, you know, the first step of healing is to become aware of what's going on. Aaron, you look like you have something to say. What's up?
No, I'm actually just listening, but I don't hate Mercury retrograde either. I'll honor him whichever direction he's going. And I was just thinking, it's funny, you know, Mercury at retrograde ended and like a day or so later, we went into Saturn retrograde, and I don't even know about all that.
So Saturn retrograde, remember what Saturn is? It's the great teacher. Some people say it's a planet of karma, and people don't know what karma means. Karma does not mean what comes around goes around. Karma means what is it you need to learn. And us being human, a lot of us can't learn things the easy way. We have to learn things the hard way, so we hate karma. But anyway, Saturn in retrograde is, what do you really need to freaking learn? What's all the lessons you haven't learned? Or what's something you thought you learned, but no, you didn't? And also it has to do with how you project your shit on people, it's going to show you that you do that. And not everybody, if you're in a balanced place and you're good, you have to remember all retrogrades are designed to help you figure something out. Venus in retrograde, and people are like, how come all my exes are calling me? Because it's a Venus in retrograde, meaning you still have emotions to deal with. And so, but when all these things happen, I love when astrology happens. I'm like, oh, I get a chance to heal. I realize if I'm busy, I'm not excited about the healing. If I just chill and just relax into it, I'm more excited about it. However, I will say, watch what you say to people, because a lot of times we're influenced by different planets and how we feel and how we talk. And you don't want to call someone a jackass who's your friend and doesn't need it, you know. But anyway, what closing things we'll talk about? Laura, we got about 3 minutes.
Like the sun and the seasons and the cycles and the earth and all these planets and retrogrades and things moving, the only certainty is that everything is uncertain and everything changes and energy ebbs and flows. And I think now that we have the sun on its pinnacle, we can allow ourselves to be extra, some of us who need it more. And also to understand that there is the downside, right? The sunset. And that it's okay to have a sunset. That it's okay to have a chill moment. That it's okay to say, I'm not going to work today. That it's okay to flip the desk. Because flipping the desk, metaphorically, or if you can and will, even physically, it's also healing. So do you, and enjoy the summer and enjoy being alive. I mean, I know I have a minute now, but we are also all coming from an extraordinary trauma, a collective extraordinary trauma that we don't know we have. So be gentle with yourselves.
Cool. Aaron, any closing thoughts?
Accept yourself as sacred and magical and powerful. And I don't mean that deep down you are sacred. All of you is sacred, whether you consider some parts negative or not. And if you can't accept all of that as sacred, try to uncover what is blocking you, because then those are the things that we need to assert ourselves towards. And if you need healing during the season, you don't always have to do that yourself. You can ask those you trust for the healing.
It's not all work.
That's
absolutely all. So something interesting. So when I was writing my other world book, I have a chapter on evolution. And did you know that all species are we evolved to be imperfect on purpose? So how our DNA is designed, we're supposed to be slightly flawed because there's something in our bodies, in our spirits, that are always trying to attain evolution and perfection, but because we never quite get there, we will never stop evolving. Isn't that the coolest thing in the world? It's like we're designed by the goddess, by creation, to be imperfect so that we could always be better. So we're perfection in our imperfection. Isn't that cool?
It is.
So keep what Aaron and Laura said in mind, and your sacredness is the imperfection. And that's a good thing. On that note, I want to thank everyone for coming. I want to thank my co-host, Laura Gonzalez and Frater Aaron. This was a lot of fun just to chill and shoot the shit. And I feel like I should have had some tea because I think we're all pouring tea today. So it was good. It was good. All right. Thank you so much. And we will see you next time.